NASCAR returns to Bowman Gray Stadium in a big way, and the rest of the field spends all night chasing Elliott. Those are our top stories here on Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Sunoco. Whether you're headed to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
So congrats to Chase Elliott. He wins the first ever Clash at Bowman Gray and the Cookout Clash in dramatic fashion. He just dominated the event. We will talk about the actual race a little bit later on in the show. But guys, I really want to talk about the event. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley, and we're not that far away from talking about Daytona, but we got to take care of the business that happened in Winston-Salem at Bowman Gray Stadium. Alexis, I'll start with you. Just your overall impression of this Clash at Bowman Gray on the quarter-mile racetrack, going back to NASCAR's roots, so to speak.
I'll say I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you, Doug. We all knew, based off of reports of sellout crowds and all that, that there was going to be a lot of people there, but we didn't really know exactly how the track itself was going to race. And we were treated to what I think was a great show. I know we're going to talk more about that in the next segment, but I think that really fueled the fans and the stands and the electric atmosphere that came across for me. I was not there. I was not able to get in. I know there was a lot of industry people that wanted to get in that weren't able to because of the limited space there. And I was one of them. But I'll tell you what, watching on television, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I thought it was, I'll say, an electric atmosphere.
17,000 people, but they all had to stand because there wasn't room for everybody to sit, Brad Gilley.
Yeah, see, that was the cool thing. And what I really liked about it, and I thought going to the Los Angeles Coliseum for 3 years was a great thing. I mean, they put the sport in front of a bunch of new fans. But for this one, and you're talking about all the people that were standing up the entire time watching the action, these were like hardcore, passionate race fans. These are the race fans that are going to wave their fingers in the air, depending on which driver they're either cheering for or jeering. And I thought that part of it was really cool. Like, the energy of what was happening at Bowman Gray Stadium really came across on the broadcast, whether you were listening to the MRN broadcast or watching it on Fox. To me, that was the fun thing about it, because it really was an electric atmosphere full of passionate race fans who were ready to see some action.
Both of you guys have used the word electric and passionate. I think that's key. I felt like going in, okay, this is going to be cool. It's nostalgic. Nostalgia sells. But is it going to grow the audience? But Alexis, after watching it, and I took it in on television. I wasn't there either because they asked people to stay away if you didn't have a job to do. That it could potentially grow the audience if people gave this a chance, because I think what you watched at that little racetrack was pretty mesmerizing.
I agree. I mean, when you think about the product that we've had lately, when it comes to short track racing, I think this was above and beyond any expectation that I certainly had going into it. Flat quarter mile track, weren't really sure what we were going to expect, especially after watching Saturday's heat races. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot of passing in those 25 lap races. And then we get to Sunday night in the LCQ, and you've got a guy in Josh Berry who basically comes from, the back of the pack all the way through to make it, along with Kyle Larson and Ryan Blaney, who was the provisional, into the main event. And that kind of kicked off, I think, what we could expect from the rest of the night, and it delivered, in my opinion. And I think when you have a product on the racetrack like that, that's going to attract new fans. I mean, we were up against, in that time slot, the Grammys were on last night. There were a few other things that were happening, that potentially it wasn't the biggest thing on television. But as far as sports go, I think it was, for sure. So hopefully we did get some new eyeballs and some people that were treated to what they thought was an entertaining product.
Yeah, if you wanted to watch sports last night, I think NASCAR probably had as close to a monopoly as they could get. No big college basketball. We're not in the NBA playoffs yet, and nobody watches the NBA till they get to the playoffs. So I think they had a good opportunity to make an impression. There was enough action to keep you intrigued. Brad, the staging of the event, I felt like was was neat. At first, I was thinking, well, okay, I might have done this, this, and this. But then I started thinking, when they did North Wilkesboro with the All-Star race coming back, they poured all of the racing history into that. They brought back everybody they could possibly bring back to North Wilkesboro. Richard Petty, Kyle Petty, you name it, that person was at North Wilkesboro. Darrell Waltrip's there. It was like, okay, we're celebrating the history of the sport at Wilkesboro. And you and I were there. And they did a marvelous job with that. I kind of got it after a while. Last night, or when they ran the Clash at Bowman Gray, they were celebrating Bowman Gray Stadium, not the history of the sport.
I love the way you phrase that. I really do, because I would wholeheartedly agree. This was about the venue, and this was everything about it. You know, a couple of things that I really enjoyed. When we were at the Clash at the Los Angeles Coliseum, you know, they had that sort of halftime intermission with somewhat of a concert, like at the end of the grandstands, which just seemed kind of out of place there to me. This was literally all about the racing, and you're right. It was about where we were. It was about where we were making history. It was truly about the madhouse. It was about, this is a place that is really deep. And I mean, look, I know we talk about Bobby Allison winning in 1971, and that was the last NASCAR Cup Series race there. But NASCAR Weekly Series have raced there ever since. And it was kind of cool to have a Tim Brown, a 12-time modified champion, and a Burt Myers, an 11-time modified champion, at Bowman Gray Stadium there, not only as part of the event, even though they didn't make it through the last chance qualifier, but also having all of the track champions, Burt Myers included, current track champions, giving the Start Your Engines command for the 200-lap part of the Clash as well. I really think they did this event just right.
And I like the fact, Alexis, that some of their diehard fans, and they have people that go to every race there all year long. If there's something going on, they are there. And they're there in mass. We're mad because they took down the guardrails and put up safer barriers so NASCAR's Cup Series could run.
Well, look, I mean, there are certain things you got to do to make the venue Cup Series ready, and that was one of them. But they did keep, you know, there is a part of where the wall kind of jets out because of how the grandstands are there at Bowman Gray, and they kept that. You know, they didn't try to alter anything. They kept that, and that bit some drivers through the night a little bit. Some drivers hit it. So I would say that even though, yes, they did have to take out some of what you would call, if we were watching an HGTV show, character, you know, to make it Cup Series ready, I think it still retained quite a lot of its charm.
I've watched way too much HGTV that I know exactly what you're talking about.
Wow.
Well, we made this fireplace mantle out of a tree that got blown up in the backyard 7 years ago, and somebody carved their initials in it. Anyway, I digress. I felt like even before the race started, I think the gates opened at 4 o'clock local time, and they didn't have the first thing on the track till 6:30. There was no pre-race hoopla. There were no frisbee catching dogs, Brad. There was no bluegrass band. There was nothing. And at first I'm going like, well, why don't they have something going on? And then I realized that's the whole point. The point was, we're at Bowman Gray. We don't need a lot of flash and dash.
Thank you. They do have something going on. It was called the Clash. Yeah. It was called racing at Bowman Gray Stadium. And look, I enjoy watching pre-race concerts. I really enjoyed the Matchbox 20 pre-race concert at the Coca-Cola 600 last year, for example. But people don't go to a racetrack to go see a band. They don't go to a racetrack to do anything other than watch a race. And they honored that. And to Alexis' point, too, talking about the guardrails being taken down and the safer barrier being put up, this is another thing I loved about the Clash being there. The improvements that NASCAR made weren't for this event, and we're going to take them down. They made improvements to that entire facility that are going to benefit the race fans, the Winston-Salem University fans, and all the people who go to Bowman Gray Stadium, whether it's to watch a football game, whether it's to watch a race, or whatever it might be. I think that's just another great thing about this event. They literally took a place that's been running just fine for many, many years and actually added to it and enhanced it.
Alexis, Brad and I were talking yesterday. The one thing I would have liked to have seen the yard markers on the football field infield, because that's what the infield is at Bowman Gray. It is, as Brad alluded to, Winston-Salem State University plays their home football games there. I would have liked to have seen the yard markers and end zones and things laid out. One, it would have given you some character when somebody spun into the grass. Oh, he crashes at the 35. Maybe they can do that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and you could have done that. You could have done that and still kept, you know, the partnership signage and all that, you know, that was in the infield. But yeah, you're right. It was nice to get to hear them talking about, you know, the clubhouse and all the things that go with that facility as what it is, which is a football facility, you know, most of the time. So that's part of its charm.
It's,
you know,
a great dual purpose facility. And even though, as of right now, I don't think this company advertises with us, they should be, hats off to Cookout. They sponsor the summer shootout series here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, where our PRN studios are located. They sponsor Darlington, and they also sponsored the Clash. And this is a relatively small fast food company that has stepped up in a big way, Brad.
Yeah. So it's funny. For all the years that I went to Charlotte before I had moved there in 2018, I'd never gone to Cookout. And I remember thinking, you know, I should try this place. And I was blown away when I drove up. And first of all, it was like, wait, what do I have here? And I could order a barbecue sandwich with a side of corn dog and quesadilla, and then pay like $5.75. I mean, Cookout is an amazing place. They have amazing milkshakes, a lot of really cool things. But and they're great supporters of our sport. Look, they sponsored the Southern 500. As you mentioned, the Legends car races at Charlotte Motor Speedway, now the Clash at Bowman Gray Stadium. They're big supporters of NASCAR, and I think that's great.
I think when I leave the studio today, after we get done with this, there's a Cookout like a quarter mile from here.
In either direction.
I think a corn dog is in my future today. Anyway, we digress. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We're having a little bit of fun looking back fondly on the first ever Clash at Bowman Gray. By the way, Chase Elliott won it. We'll talk about him next.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Down south, there's a place where moments are made at 180 miles per hour, where the thrills give you chills that are second to none. And at every turn, anything can and will happen fast. Some say it's just a NASCAR race, but it's Fastlanta, America's destination for acceleration, home of full-throttle throwdowns, partying into the night, and unbelievable photo finishes. NASCAR returns to Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Ambetter Health 400, February 21st through 23rd. Get tickets now at AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside, Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
When the dust settled at Bowman Gray, it was Chase Elliott Let's all say this together. NASCAR's most popular driver, winning the event in dominating fashion. He led 171 laps out of the scheduled 200. Had a chance to chat with Jamie Little when it was all over.
Well, y'all deserved it. I hope it was a good show for you. You know, this environment is special, and this is a place that has, you know, had deep history in NASCAR, and I think they deserve this event, you know, truthfully. And I hope we didn't disappoint. It was fun for me, at least, and we'll hopefully come back here one day.
Well, they showed up en masse, 17,000 strong, and they stayed till the end. The place was still packed, even 10 minutes after Chase Elliott won last night at Lexus. I hesitate to say this, but I think it was a really fortunate thing for NASCAR and a nice shot in the arm that a driver that people recognize that is beloved by many went out and won this event.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that, you know, most likely the majority of the fans in the stands were pulling for Chase to get the win. And I saw some stuff on social media during you know, some of the practice sessions on Saturday and the heat races, and they called his car quote unquote special. So, you know, he had a great car. Obviously he was able to dominate the majority of the race. And, you know, usually you don't love it when one driver dominates, but when it's the most popular driver, sometimes after a, you know, winter off season, that's just what the doctor ordered.
Brad, I feel like the fans got a treat more than just cookout, in the sense that the three drivers that I feel like generate the most fan response and love had a good weekend. And Chase Elliott wins. He wins his heat race. He comes back and he starts on the pole and he wins the main event. Ryan Blaney, who arguably is also very, very popular, starts in the back using the provisional, finishes second. And then Kyle Larson, who had to also start in the back, who barely got into the thing by finishing in the top two in the last chance race, also had a good day and started in the back and ran to the front. So chances are most of the people there, and probably most of the people watching and looking, a large percentage of them went like, okay, that was satisfying.
Yeah, well, this is what I liked about the racing, all right? So you mentioned Kyle Larson, who had worked his way up. He did it honestly. You know, he went up there and passed a lot of cars. You mentioned Ryan Blaney. Honestly, to go from the very back to finish second was spectacular. The fact that he did it with a clean race car was even more so. And then the battles that we had up front between, especially in the first half of the event, with Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, and Tyler Reddick right there. Elliott lost the lead with just a couple of laps to go before they had thrown the caution for the halfway point. But it was legitimate passing on the racetrack. It wasn't all, I'm going to have to knock you out of the way. I can drive alongside you, and I can pass you. Chase Elliott was able to do the same thing when he took the lead away from Denny Hamlin. That's one thing that I really loved about it. They could actually race on this track without having to knock each other out of the way. And there was plenty of that, too, don't get me wrong, which I really thoroughly enjoyed. But the fact that they could just do it and pass cleanly or aggressively if they needed to was so much fun to watch.
Top 10 were Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano. Bubba Wallace finished fifth. Then it was Chastain, Austin Cindric, Tyler Reddick, Shane Van Gisbergen, and Chris Buescher. And guys, I think Austin Cindric, he's got to be wary of what's going on. His dad is going to take a reduced role at Penske, at Team Penske. And Austin Cindric's resume is going to be under scrutiny, I think. This is a big year for him. Am I overstating that?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at the news we just saw this week of Tim Cindric taking a reduced role, going more in the IndyCar side of things, and that being pretty much his sole responsibility with a few other things, he's still a part of Team Penske. But when you think about the overall landscape and where Austin sits and how long he's been there, and yes, he does have a few wins, but I think he needs to win and win more consistently when you think about the teammates that he's up against and what they're able to accomplish in Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney. So I don't think you're off base there at all, Doug.
Brad?
Yeah, look, this is he is at the point in his Cup Series career where now he has to make something happen. And fortunately for him, he does have two wins, a Daytona 500 and last year at Gateway, which that was a straight up legitimate win. He was a dominant car all day long. But he's sitting at that 115 race mark. So this is the point in your career that you're no longer a rookie. You're not necessarily a seasoned veteran, but you've been doing this long enough where you need to claim your space in the field. And I was actually surprised to see him finish where he did, to be honest with you. There were a handful of drivers that finished in the top 10 at the Clash that really surprised me the way they were able to step up, and Austin Cindric was one of them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, not to change the subject, but you brought up something there, Brad, that kind of sparked something. You mentioned, you know, not a rookie anymore. You want to know the one thing that we didn't see this weekend at Bowman Gray? That was that yellow rookie stripe. I'm curious how you guys feel about that. There's been some talk about it on Twitter. Some people like it. Some people don't like it. What are your thoughts on NASCAR doing away with the yellow rookie stripe?
I don't like it. I really don't. I think the rookie stripe has some charm. I think the fact that, you know, like a Carson Hocevar who won Rookie of the Year, to me there is something ceremonial about being able to pull the rookie stripes off. But just, you know, when NASCAR says if you get to this level, you know, you shouldn't be identified or separated, I would disagree with that. No, I think you should. I think if I'm in the grandstands and I'm looking at someone out there and going, oh, okay, they're a new up-and-comer, I mean, that's a great way to identify it. I think that is a tradition that needs to come back, and it needs to come back sooner rather than later.
I was almost physically ill when I heard that they were going to do that. Seriously.
Really?
I thought this is so, and I'm going to show my age here, all right? This is so PC. This is so, here's a participation trophy. We don't want anybody to leave and be offended. And Brad used the word charming. I think that was a tradition in NASCAR that when you got to the end of that rookie year, you didn't have that on your car anymore. And that was the reward. That was, instead of the rookie yellow stripe, that was kind of the red badge of courage. I don't have to put this on my car anymore. And I've graduated up to the next level. And I just feel, what did you gain by taking, I always felt
nothing.
Like the bumper ought to be more yellow.
I was just going to say, I agree. I mean, I think that they fixed something that didn't need to be fixed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I felt like you took something away from the sport that was unique to it and replaced it literally with nothing.
Right. Yeah, it was a solution to a problem that didn't exist.
You know, so,
right, exactly.
So for whatever group of executives decided that was good, go back and undecide that.
Yes.
Just say, you know what? Maybe we overthought this and we fixed a problem that actually didn't exist. Shane Van Gisbergen had a good Clash. We'll talk about him and what's his trajectory for 2025.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmie Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmie Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmie Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention. very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row? Nobody's done five in a row.
The class is in the history books. We're still a couple of weeks away from the Daytona 500. That seems unfair. It'll be the 67th running of the Daytona 500. We'll spend next week talking about that in depth. I noticed one thing last night. Brad, I wanted to get your thoughts on this first here in the Lexus. The two of the Trackhouse cars in the Clash had no sponsorship on them. Ross Chastain was running a sponsorless Chevrolet last night, and so was Shane Van Gisbergen. Van Gisbergen's car, by the way, was stunning. It was like Petty Blue with the 88 on it, and he did a good job with it. One, do you know the backstory on why those cars were not sponsored? Or
I do a little bit, at which they still had. Van Gisbergen still had WeatherTech on the quarter panel, and Ross still had Busch Light on the quarter panel. But I think that was more like, hey, here's their sponsor. But Trackhouse, in establishing their brand, and that's what Justin Marks has wanted to do with Trackhouse in and of itself, is establish a brand. This is their color scheme. That yellow and blue with a little bit of gray in there.
Right.
It's the same color scheme that they use for their MotoGP team. It's the same color scheme that, if you go back and look at the Rolex 24, which they entered, that they used in that. So they're trying to establish not just the sponsorships that they have with Busch Light and with WeatherTech or WeatherGuard. I can't remember which one it is on Van Gisbergen's car. But also that Trackhouse brand. And that's what they took this opportunity to do. And that's why they look similar but different.
It looked pretty sporty. Alexis, when it was done, ninth place went to Shane Van Gisbergen in that beautiful blue car. And this is a guy that we don't think about knocking it around in a bull ring. He usually goes left and right.
I do want to say that I thought both Shane Van Gisbergen and Ross Chastain's cars were very good looking race cars. And I can totally understand what Justin is doing, trying to get that brand recognition. I will say I was a bit shocked, you know, to see Shane up there and mixing it up, and he made it in from the heat races and he qualified well and he did all the things he needed to do to get into the main race. He's somebody that you might have thought, okay, well, he might not make it. He might have to do an LCQ type of thing, but he did not. He was fast all weekend long. And, you know, they talked about on the broadcast his short track, I mean, his road course prowess, and how that can sometimes transfer into the braking that you see at short tracks. And perhaps that's why, you know, he was running so well and finished so well, is because of, you know, funny enough, even though he's on this little quarter mile racetrack in Winston-Salem, because of his prowess on the road courses. I think that's really what helped him to elevate his finish last night.
All right, Alexis, while we're talking about SVG here, and he's came on the scene, of course, in the biggest way possible by winning the first ever street race at Chicago and immediately became a phenomenon. And then last year came close to winning another one at Watkins Glen and did not well on the Xfinity Series, winning three road races in a row. What do you see as his path for this year? Full-time Cup racer, Ford Trackhouse. He's jumped in the deep end of the pool here. And unfortunately, this pool has a lot of sharks in it. What are we going to be talking about at the end of 2025 when it comes to the likable New Zealander, Shane Van Gisbergen?
I truly believe that he's going to win a few races. And those races are most likely going to come at your road courses. But he's in good equipment with a good team, and he is a superb road racer. So I think he's going to make the playoffs because he's going to get a win, if not two wins. I think you'll see him most likely do okay at, you know, some of the short tracks, just because of that braking prowess that he has, because of his road course knowledge. I think, you know, he talked about with Brad and I at production days, you know, struggling on those intermediates and needing to get some help there. And so we'll see him, you know, learning and coming along in those racetracks. But I think we will see him in the playoffs just solely because of, you know, his talent on the road courses. And I think we're going to see him in victory lane a couple of times too, because of that.
Brad Gilley, what say you?
Five road races in the regular season this year. Watkins Glen moves back into the regular season. You've got Mexico City, the Chicago Street Course. You have Sonoma Raceway and Circuit of the Americas. Those are five opportunities for him to drive into victory lane. Five really good opportunities. Now, do I see him making the playoffs in that regard? Yeah, I actually do. Do I see him going far into the playoffs? I don't know that I see that. The one thing, he's a very well-seasoned racer, and he knows how to make good decisions on the racetrack. The other part, he's also in his, you know, late 30s trying to learn something new, and that's kind of a hard thing to do as well. But I was impressed. I was really impressed to see what he was able to do at Bowman Gray Stadium.
All right, Shane Van Gisbergen comes home in ninth. I'm looking at Shane, and I'm trying to look at this holistically. He made a huge splash. The accent, his looks, there's a whole package there. But Alexis, to make all of that work, the other part has to kick in. You're going to have to perform. And you think he will be a playoff driver? I agree with both of you. I think just by almost default, he'll win one or two of these road races. But the whole resume needs to come along with that. I don't think he can afford to be put where A.J. Allmendinger used to be, and that's the one-trick pony that just does well going left and right.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. But I also agree with Brad when you talk about, you know, him being a seasoned racer and making good decisions. And I think, you know, we will see that. I really do. I think he's that kind of talent that he's obviously going to do very good on the road courses. We talked about that. I think we all think that's going to propel him to the playoffs. But I also think the more that he gets, you know, experience on these mile and a half and intermediate tracks, that is going to help build up, you know, his resume on those races as well. And we will see an improvement, I believe, in those areas, simply because, you know, Trackhouse, I think, you know, being with a good race team and then, you know, also just getting that under his belt. He talked about the difference between the Xfinity car and the next gen car. So that's going to be a learning curve too for him, that he's going to have to overcome. But I definitely believe that he is capable of doing it.
All right, I'm Doug Rice. She's Alexis Erickson. Brad Gilley is with us. We're going to start looking ahead at the 2025 season that's right upon us. They'll be packing up heading to Daytona here in just a few days. I want to particularly kind of focus a little bit on Richard Childress Racing, and do they become a story in the positive sense, or do they fade back into the mist? We'll chat about that next.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Imagine the roar of the engines, the smell of burnt rubber, the electrifying energy of the crowd. It feels like America. It's the Food City 500 NASCAR weekend, April 11th through the 13th. It's racing the way it ought to be. This year, it's a triple header weekend with the thrill of trucks, Xfinity, and Cup racing packed into three heart-pounding days. Visit BristolMotorSpeedway.com for tickets and details.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do, because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given.
At Speedway Children's Charities, our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at SpeedwayCharities.org.
Welcome back to the show. If you venture into the Tar Heel state of North Carolina and you're a race fan, there are probably three or four must-visit locales. A lot of people come here and tour Charlotte Motor Speedway. They go across the street to the Hendrick Motorsports campus. They've got a museum, and it's just something to behold. People go down into Uptown Charlotte. They don't let you call it downtown because that's not towny enough. So they go to Uptown Charlotte to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And a lot of folks, Alexis, stock in Welcome, North Carolina, to visit the Richard Childress Racing Museum, which really could be called the Dale Earnhardt Museum because that's everything that's there. I say all that to say this. Their shop's located in Welcome, North Carolina, quaint little town. Richard Childress Racing has Austin Dillon, and they have Kyle Busch that'll be campaigning again this year, both of them with inauspicious starts in the Clash. I don't want to focus on that. Last year's stats for Austin Dillon, one win, one top five, five top tens, average finish, 22.6. Kyle Busch, not all that much better, average finish, 18.3. Here's the thing that bothers me, especially with Austin. In 2022, he averaged 16.5. So he has fallen off almost five positions from where he was running in 2022. The trend is supposed to go the other way. Kyle Busch fell 3.5 spots. He went from average finish of 15th to 18.3 last year. What can go on there at Richard Childress Racing that can reverse this trend? This is not something you can sustain.
It's not?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let Brad take
it's not that you're being coy saying, yes, you can sustain this because it's not hard to sustain this.
No, that was full agreement with you. It's not. They can't sustain that, what they're doing. And they can't continue to run like that. I will give them credit. Last year, we talked a lot about this. This time last year, it was looking like all of a sudden the 2024 season got here and they were like, oh, it's here already. This year, they're fully prepared for everything that they have going on. They made some key changes in the offseason. They hired Richard Boswell from Stewart Haas Racing. That was Chase Briscoe's former crew chief. Remember, Chase Briscoe did go to the playoffs. And they also hired Johnny Clausmeyer from Richard Childress Racing. Boswell is Austin Dillon's crew chief. Johnny Clausmeyer works in the competition department. When Andy Petrie left midseason last year, you saw a little bit of a short-lived uptick in what they were doing. Like, okay, Kyle Busch had a couple of runner-up finishes. Came
it's almost
really
like
close
they found
to victory
a cheat
lane.
Code, you know?
It almost is. But I do feel that this year that Richard Childress Racing actually came loaded for bear. They said, we need to change this, 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 and this. If they would have just sat on their hands and tried to do the same thing and hope for a better result, I would be completely, you know, against what they were doing. But they haven't. And I'm optimistic that some things can happen with them. Plus, you've got Jesse Love and Austin Hill, their Xfinity drivers, that are going to be running a handful of cup races with them this upcoming season. I think that's going to be an asset to that organization as well.
I think the thing, you know, that Brad points out the most is that they realized that they were in a position that was not going to be advantageous for them. They knew they needed to make some changes, and they did that. And hopefully those changes produce outcomes that are better than what they have had, because everybody wants RCR to run well. The sport wants RCR to run well. Obviously, Kyle Busch has picked up a myriad of fans since transferring over there and in the eight, and you know, everybody wants him to run well now, and that's not happening. And so hopefully these changes that they've made in the offseason are going to rectify that. But I think the biggest thing is just time will tell. Time will tell if these relationships click. You hear that all the time in racing. Oh, well, we just clicked. Well, I guess we're just going to have to see if things just click over at RCR now that they've made these changes.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how all of this comes about. I want Kyle Busch, and I've said this on the show before, but I want this version of Kyle Busch to have some success. I want to see a race where at the end of it, that guy's at the start-finish line celebrating, and people are actually in the stands cheering. Are we going to get that? Is that an alternate universe type thing?
Look, for you, it is, I think.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think true. For a lot of people, it would be to see him being cheered.
The way this story writes itself, look, he fell just shy of going 20 consecutive seasons with a win. He already has the record at 19, by the way, but fell just shy. This literally sets itself up for that NASCAR storyline for him after 22 years to finally get that Daytona 500 win. Ooh. And he's come close. He's come close. He won. He was leading at 500 miles last year. Let's not forget that.
That's correct.
And for him, you know, when Alexis and I talked to him, you know, he's had goals like everyone does, lifetime career goals, and he's like, I've adjusted those over time. Sitting at 63 wins right now. He'd like to get to 70. I think that'd be a pretty cool thing. Maybe you get to 76 where Dale Earnhardt was. Maybe you get to 83 where Jimmy Johnson was. I mean, he still has those goals to be able to go out there and put that car in victory lane. Now, where he is in his career, does he have 20 more wins in him? Don't know. But all of a sudden, if they turn things around and he knocks off a 5-win season, we might start going, maybe. I know you won't, Doug.
Brad, all right. Please. I like Kyle Busch. For some reason or another, you and Alexis think that there's this disdain that I have for him. I have no disdain for him. But I realize, even though the Daytona is fairly close to the Magic Kingdom, I don't think there's any magic fairy dust being put down at Daytona right now. And I would love to see Kyle Busch win the Daytona 500. Does that make you guys happy? Go win it, dance in victory lane, and then turn around and say, it's been fun. That would be bad. That would be sweet right there. Just win it and spike the football and go home.
I think Kyle Busch is a guy who is motivated by these milestones that he's trying to hit. He has broken records. He has done things in his career that nobody else has done. And continuing to do that, I think, is what drives him forward. I saw an interview that he did not that long ago where he talked about wanting to drive the Cup car until Brexton, his son, was, I think, 15 or 16, and I think he's maybe 9 or 10 right now. So that's, you know, another 5 or 6 years that he's going to be in the Cup car. And then his goal after that is to go run a full truck season because he wants to be the only driver to win a truck championship, an Xfinity championship, and a Cup championship. This guy is driven by the chance to break and make records. And so we'll see, you know, we'll see if he's able to continue to do that.
All right. Good luck to you. I had not heard that part of the story. I had not heard the whole, I'm going to come back and run a full season of trucks and win it all.
Nice.
That would be sweet. I mean, I'd be kind of pulling for the old guy. Get out there. Show those young
whippers. He could legitimately win half the races.
He could do it. He absolutely could.
Oh, absolutely.
Even 6 years from now, he could do it.
Just on talent alone, because there is nobody currently racing in the truck series that's as good as Kyle Busch.
Right.
Is that
a fair
statement?
He'll be 40 in 3 months.
Yeah.
He's in his prime.
Even 40-year-old Kyle Busch is better than anybody running full-time in the truck series.
Agree.
All right. There. You happy? I've said nice things about Kyle Busch.
I don't think you don't like him. It's just funny that you are literally ready to declare someone's ability to win done.
Agreed.
I'm not backing that all the way. I mean, the bell curve of performance is undeniable. And you have that period and you go up, 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 and you plateau. If you're really good, you're like Jimmy Johnson, and your plateau is like one of those things that you see out in Utah that the Roadrunner falls off of.
Right.
And it goes for a long way. For most people, it is the bell curve. You get to the top, and you're there for just a little bit, and then you start that inevitable slide down. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, it is the return of Green Flag Black Flag.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications.
But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Our crack research department did just report that 610 days since Kyle Busch's last.
Wow.
That doesn't seem real in some ways, but we'll see. We'll see how that plays off. I think it's and the last win was at Gateway out in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever? Any one of you guys ever been there? I've never been there.
I've been past it. It's literally, I mean, it's technically in Illinois, but it is literally right across the river from St. Louis. You can see the arch from the racetrack.
Alexis, is there a track you would like to go to that you've not been to yet?
That's a really good question. There's a few. Watkins Glen is high on my list. I know a lot of people that have been to that racetrack, and the racetrack itself is awesome, but then also the area, just the, you know, the Finger Lake region of New York is something that a lot of people say that is one of their favorite trips of the year. So I'd like to do that.
I would go back up there even if there wasn't a race. That is such a beautiful part of the country. And not that this means anything, but there's like a winery every 2 miles.
Ah.
So, well, that means convenient. Something to me, Doug. Yeah. I don't know about anybody else, but
it means you have to hire a driver. All right,
that resonates with me.
Yeah, that speaks to me volumes. Let's do this right now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right.
The debut of the 2025 edition of Green Flag, Black Flag. No cash is given. No points are awarded. You get the wisdom of our panel to carry with you through life. That should sustain you. Got to start with Doug Rice as we read these statements. By the way, if the panel agrees with the statement, they give it a green flag. And David Stiles, yeah, that's what you hear. And if they disagree, it's... There you go. If everybody's in unison... All right. Hello. Start with Doug Rice here. Ryan Blaney is now the short track favorite.
Ryan Blaney is now the short track favorite. Sure. Green flag. Why not? I mean, he ran from the back all the way to the front, and he's pretty good at the short tracks anyway. So, yeah, I'll give him that.
All right, Alexis Erickson, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going green flag with that, too. When you just think about what he was able to accomplish at the Clash, and then you think about last year, Martinsville obviously was a huge, huge day for him and his team. And then you go to Phoenix and he just gets oh so close to catching teammate Joey Logano to win the championship. So, yeah, I'd say when you're going to a short track in 2025 and you're playing fantasy, you should probably have Ryan Blaney on your team.
All right, Brad Gilley, what do you think?
I will be different and say Black Flag.
What?
And say Denny Hamlin still carries that torch.
Denny Hamlin. All right. Let's go to Alexis Erickson. Question two. NASCAR should put 40 cars on the track at Bowman Gray and run a points event.
Oh, man. You know, the chaos seeker in me says green flag, but the realist in me says black flag. I just don't think that that would work in any way that NASCAR would want. So I'm going to say black flag.
Brad Gilley.
Green flag all the way. I mean, look, that track raced with a lot more room than I think a lot of us thought. Why not? Let's go ahead and just have a points-paying event there.
All right, Doug Rice, you break the tie.
I think Brad Gilley says this a lot. A little bit of perfume is really nice. What is it you say, Brad?
Yeah, if one squirt smells good, that doesn't mean three smell better.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Brad's perfume theory here, and that 40 cars is not necessarily that much better than 23. So I'm going to go with Alexis.
Substatement. Will this ever happen anyway? Do you think it would happen ever?
I don't.
Uh-huh.
I think points race at North Wilkesboro could be a possibility, and that I'm chomping at the bit to see.
Oh, I'd think that's a mortal lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Brad Gilley for this one. This is a make-or-break year for Bubba Wallace.
Green flag, I think so. And look, he's got a multi-year deal that he signed last year with 2311 Racing. But the fact of the matter is you've been shut out for the last two seasons when it comes to victory lane. You need to go out there, you need to lead laps, and you need to grab trophies.
Doug Rice.
I'm going to agree with Brad Gilley there. I think this is a key year for Bubba. He regressed last year. Mm. 2 years ago, he made that run. He got to the playoffs. They made a little bit of noise. He got to the second round of the playoffs, and it really looked like his trajectory was going in the right direction. And then last year, they were totally off the rails. The bottom line, they've got to make the playoffs at the very least.
Alexis Erickson, make or break year for Bubba.
Yeah, it's unanimous. I'm going to say green flag, too. It's all about what have you done for me lately, you know? And he needs to start doing more.
All right, we go back to Doug Rice for the final. An early season win will come from none other than Ty Gibbs.
A black flag. I feel like he's not trending right. I felt like start of last year, woo, and the rest of the season, especially at the tail end of the year, he just fell off a cliff.
Yeah. Alexis.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag too on that. I feel like, that team needs a little bit more to show me that they're going to make it to victory lane. And I know the clash isn't really something that you can hold a yardstick up to measure anything going forward. But when you look at kind of the temper that he showed and all of that on the racetrack, I don't know. I think he needs a little bit more growing up to do.
Is it unanimous, Brad?
Yes, we do. It is unanimous because, look, I'm a big believer in his new crew chief, Tyler Allen. The man won 8 races last year with 4 different drivers in the Xfinity Series, and I think he's going to be a really good Cup crew chief. But just watching Ty Gibbs' mannerisms during the clash at Bowman Gray, there's a confidence that he needs to find again. And however he finds that, until he does, he's not going to win.
Doug Rice, that's green flag, black flag.
It certainly is. They do. They need, in search of Ty Gibbs' swagger. They need swagger meter and get him back on. When we come back, one last thing.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
The speed, the thrill, the action. NASCAR takes over Las Vegas March 14th through 16th for the Pennzoil 400 race weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Get ready for non-stop action as NASCAR's biggest stars battle for victory. Whether you're in the stands or camping trackside, feel the adrenaline like never before. Tickets at lvms.com or call 800-644-4444. Are you ready to go all in? This is NASCAR. This is Vegas. This is the Pennzoil 400 March 14th through 16th.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
We appreciate you tuning in and making Fast Talk a part of your weekly listening habits. And let's go and segue to this segment right now.
One last thing.
Before the show even started, Alexis Erickson wanted to lay claim to one last thing. It's all yours,
well,
Alexis.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so it involves one of our favorite people in the whole world, and that's why Kyle Petty and the Performance Racing Network together had a really big announcement last week. Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie debuted this past weekend. Basically, a country countdown show that they look back at songs from that week of years past. Great stories. Well, we all know Kyle Petty is a great storyteller. Anybody that listens to this show on a regular basis knows that Kyle Petty is a great storyteller. And Charlie and Debbie of Country 103.7 WSOC in Charlotte, North Carolina, join him for this show. And the three of them have great chemistry, and we are very excited to kick off this new show. So if you like country music and you like Kyle Petty, which are two of the things that I really like, please, I implore you to go check out our new show, Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie. You can find a list of stations on our website, goprn.com. Check it out.
Awesome. Great thoughts. Brad Gilley.
You know, this is my favorite time of year, and for a lot of reasons, because I like spring. And I realize it's the first week of February, but today here in Wise County, Texas, it's going to be a high of 83 degrees. I walked outside to go put something in the trash can today, and it just felt awesome. I always love going to Daytona, which is where everything NASCAR is going to descend next week. Because to me, Daytona 500 is synonymous with springtime. And this is absolutely my favorite time of year. You're going to see me pretty giddy here for the next few months.
All right. Enjoy all that giddiness. This may sound a little strange. Normally, when I take in a race, if we hadn't been broadcasting it on PRN, I'm stuck in front of a television watching the race, and I take it in that way. For the Clash at Bowman Gray, I listened to the entire event on the Motor Racing Network. Kudos to our comrades in blue over there. They brought the excitement of that little bull ring to life. And you know the business we're in. We're in the transportation business. And I could see everything in my mind's eye perfectly. The excitement level that all of their announcers had. Not that they're not always great, but it was they did such a marvelous job of capturing such a unique event that kudos to those guys. Way to go. So next week, we'll be right back here. It's going to be our pre-Daytona show. We look forward to that as we return with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco UltraTech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.